Okay, Pasuk Zayin, but Tzar li Ekra Hashem, the Alavir Alavir Rukaya Shaveya. I'm on page 142. Page 142. Mizmor Yudches, Pasuk Zayin, that Tzar li, in my situation of pain, Ekra, my distress, in my state of distress, Ekra Hashem, I call out to Hashem, Yelokai Ashaveh, to my God, I cry out. Notice here is Elokai. Elokai is really the way you refer to Hashem. Elokai means, okay, my God, Hashem, Ashaveh, I cry out, Yishma Meheholoi Koili, Hashem listens from his abode to my voice, Vishavosi Lifonov, and my prayer before him, Tovoi V'oznav. Rav Kalman yesterday mentioned that there's a psik, and that needs to be discussed, why there is a psik here in this pasuk. Let's see the Mitzvah Stavit Pasuk Zayin, on page 143, whenever I am in pain, I cry to Hashem, and Hashem listens. We turn the page to page number 144, and in the Mitzudos David, on towards the bottom on the right side, V'shavasi lefanav, mashet tzra'achti lefanav bo, v'oznav, this that I cry out before him goes in his ears, v'chofol ha'adavar b'nilo yishonos k'derech melitzas hashir, according to the Mitzudos David, this is nothing more than poetic repetition, his favorite expression. He says these words, v'chofol ha'adavar b'nilo yishonos. He says that expression probably too many times to count in his commentary on Nach. Okay, now let's go back and do a redak. Melitza, an expression. An expression. Poetic expression. Now yesterday I wanted to do with you or just to skim through on page 141 a medrash. A medrash in the Minchas Erev. It's a very, very nice idea. Okay, it's a nice idea. I don't think this is what you're referring to, but there's something here that you might find interesting, if I remember correctly. Minchas Erev, page 141. On the right side, where it says, Uv'shoichar Toiv. Shoichar Toiv is the name of the medrash on Tehillim. Moro David Lemar Le'Evet Hashem. Going back on this mizmor, the mizmor begins. So going back to the beginning of the mizmor, mizmor yuches, lamatzeach le'evet Hashem. Why does this mizmor in particular bring the expression of Hashem? The answer is, lulametcha, to teach you, shukolo oise teshuva me'aveiro shabiyodo ha'kadosh baruch hu moisif lo'i kovod v'koi lo shem chaviv. Anyone that does teshuva from an aveira kadosh baruch hu forgives him, and Hashem gives him honor, and calls him by a shem chaviv. What is the ultimate beloved expression that Hashem can call a person? We learned this from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, how long did his hesped last? Mm-hmm. Moshe died. Who was maspid? Who delivered the eulogy for Moshe Rabbeinu? Hashem. And what did Hashem say? Vayomo Shom Moshe Eved Hashem. The entire eulogy was two words. Ever Hashem. Sorry? I remember when I was a little kid, I went to a Levaya with Chaim Siegel, the Menahel of Chaim Berlin. So he went, I remember even who Levaya was, I'm not going to tell you who it was. I went to Levaya, so I went in the car. I went in the car, and then and Levaya went on and on and on. And then we went back, he said to me, Meis Osir Behano. It's a classic bar. I never knew that time. That was the first time I learned the expression, which means you're not allowed a mace, a dead body. You're not allowed to have pleasure. You're not allowed to go and take the bones and do experiments and make from the skin a carpet, an area rug. Mace also bahana. But in a more profound meaning, is that a rabbi who wants to give a speech. The rabbi has pleasure. Ah, look, I'm here. I'm able to deliver a eulogy. Who's the only one that's having pleasure from the eulogy? The rabbi. Not the listeners. The listeners are being tortured. Mace, he said to me, Mace also the Hana. He didn't like the Hespedin, obviously. And it was okay. But in any event, David over here, David, Hashem says about David, Hashem was maspid Moshe, and Hashem's hesped was two words. He also told me that. I also learned from him. I heard this, he gave a shir. Says the hesped of Moshe Rabbeinu was two words. Eved Hashem. That captures everything you can possibly say about a person. And that really is said explicitly here in this Medrash. And the Medrash is that when a person does an Aveira, and he does Teshuvah, not only does HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgive him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him honor. What is the honor? He calls him by a Shem Chaviv, a beloved term, a beloved title. What is the beloved title? Eved Hashem. Eved Hashem, the servant of Hashem. It's interesting, today, the title is a big deal. Today, everyone knows, you have the right titles. In the secular world, there's doctor, and there is professor, and there is president, your honor, your majesty. Titles says quite a bit in the secular world. Go study, even amongst, in the secular world, what we're accustomed to, his honor, right? His honor for the mayor. And all these different. When you come to rabbis, then you go into a whole different world. There's Harav Hagoyin, Hagoyin Hagodol, and there's Hatzadik, and there's Tzadik Amiti, and there's all these different jokes that you can. Right. All these different things. You never heard that. Don't worry, coming soon. Coming to a wedding near you soon. Listen, Rabbi Isai, Mechubid, Ha'Eved Hashem, Ha'Goin Ha'Godol, Ha'Onof Ha'Amiti. Don't worry, you'll see, coming to a theater near you. Rav Doiv will come back one day and tell me you went to a wedding and they called up.
Ha'Goin Ha'Rav, Ha'Tzadik Eved Hashem.
Eved Hashem, you're going to see. You wait and see.
By the way, I'll take my coffee
black. In any event, over here, this is the Makar. Over here, it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu Makar L'Shem Chaviv Es Hashira Hazayis Nek. Then we go for that is why this Mizmar is called a Shira. It's called L'Natzech L'Eved Hashem. Who is the one that added these words L'Eved Hashem? David wouldn't say it about himself. That would be violate every rule of humility. It must have been Achiruach HaKodesh that this was inserted into this Mizmar by Hashem Ruach HaKodesh. But what's also very important to appreciate is that this sets the tone, according to the Minchas Erev, or according to this Medrash, that this entire Mizmah was composed in as an expression of thanks to Hashem for forgiving David. David was writing, saying this, forgiving him for his sins. When we started, that's always the question. Every single Mizmah, the goal is, we always try to do it in the beginning, so far, Baruch, I think we've tried every Mizmar to do this. When we start the Mizmar, what is the context of this Mizmar? At what point in life did David compose this Mizmar? And in response to what event? Who are the enemies? Who are his adversaries? Who are his friends? In relation to what is the Mizmar composed? The Mizmar Yitches is a very long Mizmar, and this Mizmar, we have a long discussion, the fact that it's repeated in Sefer Shmuel. It's in Sefer Shmuel, it's in Sefer Tehillim, it's called Shiras David. There are many nuances. On the bottom of the page, we discuss the Likutei Shas. It shows over here all the multiple nuances, the difference between these two. Probably the most popular nuance by far is the difference of the expression Migdol Yisrael Smalkai and Magdil. Magdil and Migdol. In one Sefer, it says Magdil. And in the other it says Migdol. We have to discuss it more later. I remember I'm all mixed up already which one says which. And why do we switch from Magdil to Migdol? Well, many will tell you it's a printer's error. When we'll get there, we'll discuss this. Many will tell you there's only one version. The only version is to say, I don't know, probably Magdil. And Magdil, I don't remember where I think it's in Tehillim. Magdil is in Tehillim.
Yes.
And that's it. And due to some printer's error, the pasuk it was cited, it was there were a couple of letters that were written as an acronym to tell you that it's found. No. I think it's in Shmuel. I think the pasuk, the one that was supposed to say is in Shmuel.
Haftorah is Migdol.
Haftarah is Midol. Okay,
yeah,
so Magdil. For some
Midol.
Okay, so somehow there was some printer's error, and that printer's error turned to B'Shabbos Oimrim. B'Shabbos Oimrim.
So somehow,
that's one of the most popular differences between the Shiras David, between what it says in Sefer Shmuel and what it says in Tehillim. Okay, so we discussed, and then when did David compose this Mizmar? Did he compose it at the end of his life? Did he compose this when he was retired? We discussed when his men took a Shavua, declaring that David HaMelech may never ever go into the battlefield because of an incident where he almost lost his life on the battlefield, and his men, his army, decide that he's too valuable. We do not want David joining us in war, and David was retired against his will. Even though he may have been a young man at that time, he was retired, he composed the Mizmah at that point in time. According to this Medrash, none of the above. The Medrash says that David composed this Mizmah in response to Hashem forgiving him for the chait of Bathsheba.
And it's in this Mizmah.
This whole Mizmah.
No, it's in this
Magdil is in Tehillim.
This
Magdil is Tehillim and Midol. And Midol, right? Magdil is in Tehillim, and Midol is in Shmuel. Okay, so, but according to the Medrash, it's very interesting that this itself is a powerful limut. This itself is an eye-opening chiddush. Is that this mizmar Shiras David? We learned until now. Most of the commentators learned that Shiras David is all about. I mean, the pasuk says pretty explicitly. I mean, it's hard to. He said he composed this mizmar. B'yoyim yitzil Hashem oisoy mikaf kol oivav u'mikaf sho'ol. Now, the mice of Sho'ol took place before the story of Bathsheba, way before the story of Bathsheba. And so you want to say mikaf kol oivav, he viewed his enemies to be as a Hashem's response to the chait of Bathsheba. And over here in this medrash, he writes, Hashem gives him a title of beloved title, Eved Hashem. And the chait of David, that is the highlight of his chatoim, is nothing other than Bathsheba. So it is a bit difficult. I mean, again, maybe what I'm saying is wrong, that this just is a small point that is mentioned, that is inserted in this Mizmah, but the main thrust of the Mizmah, is going on in all of the battles. All right, let's go further. We're going to show this week. Omar Es Ashira Hazois, Omar Yudin, Zesh, Omar Kosov, Kimoy Face, Solisi, Lorabim, Omar David, Mo Ani Loyamarki, Shira, Ad Shemis Chorafti, Yad Shenoflu Biyodi Arbo'o. Okay, so here we're dealing with numbers. David makes this again. This is what it says in the Medrash. David said, Mo ani, this that I, lo yamarti shira, I did not sing shira ad shenis chorafti, I was put to shame. I was cursed. The ad shenoflu biyodi arbo'o, and it fell into my hands four. The ad shenofal biyodi baal etz bo'is, and it fell into my hand a baal of fingers, five fingers. It's a riddle. This is a riddle. Kach likewise, Yisrael, Einan Oimrim Shira, Ad Sheyischorfu, they will be put to shame. The Ad Sheyitlu Biyodam Arba'o, Uval Atz Etz Bo'ois. The Zehu, Kimoyfe, Soyisi Lorabim, Vani Simin Toivli Yisrael. Period. Okay, so here we go. So far we have a riddle. We have a very cute little riddle here. The riddle over here is as follows. David says, I maise avois simin labanim. We all know that when it comes to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, every single moment of their life played out in a much larger way for the entire Klal Yisrael throughout Jewish history. That is a given principle. But what about David? Is David also, do we say by David is Maisa of a similar body? Do we say that David's life, everything about David with his struggle with Shaul, with Yehoinasan, with his children, with the Malchus 7 years in Hebron, 33 years over Klal Yisrael, Is there such a principle to say that we can look at David HaMelech's life and use it as a template of mice of a similar body for the history of Klal Yisrael? We only say that the only place you find such a principle is only by Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Is there a chazal that will tell us that David's life is a mashal, is a dogma for the history of the Klal Yisrael? Well, it is interesting that David begged Hashem that he wants to be the fourth leg of the Merkava. David said, why is it that the Jewish people only say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov? Why don't they say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei David? You can make the Olam will stay in
the
shul.
Is there a little bit of yuhara to ask such a question?
Call Ha'omer David Chata Eina Elatoya.
Yeah, but here, with such a question.
You're asking good questions. I don't know the answer.
The answer to what you just said is very simple. God wrote the Torah, not the Nevi'im. In other words, the Nevi'im wrote the Nevi'im. And God only told us very few things, especially Yitzhak. He's almost non-existent in the Chumash. Just like one parsha, and that's it. Avram a little more, Yaakov even more. So since God chose to write certain things, we have to take it as a lesson why God chose these specific,
okay, but,
these particular things about them.
But Sefer Shmuel, Sefer Shmuel is part of the Codex. Sefer Shmuel was part of the canon. It was written up in Ruach HaKodesh.
Yes,
but
course.
That's not the same level. It's not Hamish from Torah.
It's not Hashem.
100%, but it's still sacred. All I'm trying to say is that perhaps this chazal, we discussed it before, is a very difficult chazal. What does David mean when David said, I want to be in the Shemona Esra? I want the Jewish people to say about me the same thing that they say about the others. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Elokei Dan. So we discussed this. And the basic simple answer that everyone says is that each, in order to get into this club, you have to have a unique contribution. Okay, you have to have a unique contribution. What was the contribution of Avraham Avinu to Klal Yisrael? Chesed. What was the contribution of Yitzchak? Avodah. What was the contribution of Yaakov?
Emes.
Torah. So David was saying to Hashem, I also provided for the Jewish people a unique contribution that no one else did. And what was that? Teshuvah. Teshuvah. David was chukam, the all shell teshuvah. And if there would not be teshuvah in this world, the world cannot exist. Avraham is not a pillar of teshuvah. That was not his forte. That was not Yitzchak. It was not Yaakov. Each one had their thing. Not to say they didn't do teshuvah. But the one that taught the world there's something called teshuvah is David. And David said, therefore I am entitled. Teshuvah is a basic staple of life. And just like the world cannot exist, the Jewish people cannot exist without chesed and avodah and Torah, they cannot exist without the koyach of teshuvah. David was chukam, the oil teshuvah. Those are the words of Chazal. Avodah.
It's
gvura. Gvura, fine. There are different ways to say the same thing. Fine. And Yaakov is emes, Torah, titim emes the Yaakov. Fine, there are different ways to look at it.
And then we say that there are the correspondents in that Kaddish Baruch Hu. We're saying that Kaddish Baruch Hu. So now you want to add in tshuva. Is Hashem a thing of tshuva that he gives tshuva?
Vayavor Hashem al pono vayikra Hashem kel rachel nechanan v'chulu v'chulu. Yes,
yes. He accepts the tshuva. It's not that he's personified.
He also personifies Shuvah. Okay, this is a very esoteric kind of sense. But the basic approach of this Maimar Chazal is, there's a basic approach, and that is, David was begging Hashem to allow him into this club because David qualifies. David has provided for Klal Yisrael something unique. And Hashem said, no, you're out, I'm sorry. It's true, you have provided a significant contribution, but you don't deserve it. It's not the level, unless you want to be tested. You go to the whole story, go the whole discussion, whatever. That's one approach. But here, this Medrash is telling us, perhaps we can suggest another approach, a different approach to understand what exactly is David trying to say to Hashem. And perhaps, based upon what he's saying, we're going to read the riddle in a moment, but it's more important at this point than the actual riddle itself is, David is saying to Hashem, my life, my existence is a model. It's a metaphor. It is a pattern. Basically, ma'ase avos siman labanim. Just as we all are very familiar with the principle that the ma'ase avos siman labanim is true when it comes to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, David is saying, my entire life is a microcosm of what's going to happen to the Jews in the big picture of Jewish history. And he goes on to say, just like I was put to shame, and then I overcame 4, and then 5, so too the same exact thing is going to happen in the history of the Jewish people. There's going to be shame, there's going to be a 4, and there's going to be a 5. And he goes on to explain. Now, maybe you'll say, and this also puts things in perspective, maybe you would say that the 4, when you want to go with this approach, mice of a similar bond, does that mean they overlap? Or maybe they represent different eras of Jewish history. Avraham was an era, the early history. Yitzchak was the Middle Ages. Yaakov is the Yemos HaMashiach, is the later period of time. David is saying, my life is the Ma'is of a Silman for Yemos HaMashiach, the very, very end. Because when he gives the mashal, and he's, look, what happened to me in my little life, the 3 years of my life, is the same thing that's going to happen in the big picture in the world for the entire Klal Yisrael. And he goes on to explain what exactly happened. Ketzad. Ketzad, now first he explains what happened to himself. Ketzad, Nischoref Migolias HaPlishti, the Cheref Yisrael, the Kilas Dov, the Kilas David, period. What happened? What happened to David? David was Nischoref Migolias HaPlishti. From Goliath, Goliath cursed David, the Cheref Yisrael, he cursed the Jewish people, the Kilalas David, and he cursed David, the Nosan Hu Biyadoi, and he fell into his hands. So I'm not mistaken, what I think what it means over here is, he's going back to his own, it means 4. He's going to give another interpretation in a few moments, which I think is more appealing to us. But when it says here in the beginning of this metaphor, Mo ani Eloi Mati Shuel Ach Nisfanafti V'Ach Naflu Shenaflu Biyodi Arbo'o, which means 4 things came over him. 4 tragedies. What are the 4 tragedies? That David was cursed by Goliath. Goliath cursed the Jewish people.
Well, no, that's the shaming part.
But that's good. These are the 4.
It says first there's the shaming.
Okay, fine. So let's read a little bit further. Ubal etzbois. Let's read further. Ubal vayhi ish modoin veetzbois yodav veetzbois raglav sheish vosheish. This is a story. He encountered. He came. There was a melchama. I don't remember the story in detail at this moment. But David came. There was a war, and the people that he was fighting with were abnormal. They were giants, and they had 6 fingers on their hand. They had 6. Six
everybody
fingers.
Or just one person?
This one person. Ish Modoin. There was a person then with Modoin, the Etzbois Yadov, the Etzbois Raglov, Sheish for Sheish. And it kind of notes that this person was unusually powerful. David fell into an enemy that he was unable to conquer, because Al Piderek HaTeva, it's a metaphor, it means it's true, obviously, but he was such a mighty person, he had 6 fingers. Dexterity. No, this is a different story. This is a different story, Shmuel Beis. There were many different wars. David encountered many different enemies over his life, and there was a person he encountered, an enemy that was way more powerful than David. And the way it is expressed is that this person had 6 fingers. The sum is greater than the parts. And you only have 5 fingers. You have 5 fingers, which means there's a certain coordination. When you have 6 fingers, it means that the other person, your opponent, has more weapons. They have more nukes, more sophisticated, better technology than you have. Okay, v'naflu l'fanav arba'a. What does it mean 4 fell into his him? Es arbas eile yuldu l'horofa begas. Harafa, this is the son of Naomi, and Naomi's daughter-in-law. There was Rus and Arpa. Arpa is Harpa. It's the same person. For some reason, sometimes it's spelled Harpa, sometimes it's spelled Arpa. And she who was the mother of Goliath? Arpa. Okay, the story of Rus is very relevant. Rus Dovka Ba, and Arpa left. Arpa went back.
A later
descendant, she was the great-grandmother, the grandmother, the great-grandmother, the great-grandmother, all of these type of story things. She was the ancestor of four giants. Goliath had three brothers. Those are the four. Usimichle, near the Pasuk says, Vayidaber David LaHashem Esdivrei Hashem Azos. This is the very end. See, we have to learn Sefer Shmuel. In Sefer Shmuel, the Mizmah, the Shiras David, the way it appears there, with all the different nuances, comes immediately after this pasuk. The last section before Shiras David begins describes this battle that David dealt with this giant that had six fingers and six toes, and the mentions there the four children of Arpa who were giants, Goliath. And these people fell in the hands. David, supernatural Lamaila Miderech Hatev, was able to overcome these enemies. These enemies somehow capture. We have to learn Sefer Shmuel for a better appreciation of what this pasuk means, and then how it segues into Shiras David. These two enemies that David is describing, the children of Arpa, and this individual who had six fingers and six toes, they represent the enemies of the Jewish people, whose power is far superior than the might of the Jewish people. And the only way that we are able to survive, overcome them, is only through Siyata Deshmaya. And David miraculously survived, and then he begins to sing the Shira, the Shiras David, I thank you, Hashem, for this miracle. So David over here is looking at his life. Here I am. I'm just a shepherd. And in my early days, I dealt with, not only his early days, I guess the other brothers, they survived Goliath. Goliath was killed in the time of Shaul. David, that was one of his mighty feats in the early days. David killed Goliath. It was a miracle. Goliath was dressed in armor. David threw stones. And when the stone made contact with the armor, there was a conversation between the stone and the armor. The stone said to the armor, let me penetrate. You have to stop it. You have to stop it. Stop it in mid-action. Many years ago, I saw a clip on the internet about there was a Superman movie, a new Superman movie. At some point in time, I remember watching this. This comes to my mind right now. This thing. I remember watching this clip, and they showed someone shot a bullet at Superman. You'll probably find it online in a second. They shot a bullet at Superman, and as the bullet was going, in the movie they showed in slow motion how the bullet tried to penetrate Superman, and how the bullet basically it dissolved. And they did it in slow motion, and I remember correctly, that's why this was posted online, this little scene cost $1 million to do. They paid, whoever made this movie, they paid $1 million to create this scene of the bullet going at the speed of light. You know, how fast is the bullet? I don't know, whatever. The bullet goes, not the human eye cannot possibly see. And then to go in slow motion and show how it dissolved, it was an incredible chokhmah using supercomputers to produce this visual effect of what they did. $1 million just for that scene alone. So that comes to memory now because the same story happened. Ein chodosh tachas hashemesh. Because when David shot his arrow, he shot a stone at a slingshot, and he shot a stone. So you could imagine the stone was going, I don't know how many miles an hour, super fast. And as the stone came to hit the armor, slow down. We're gonna slow down into slow motion. And in slow motion, there's a conversation. As the stone is coming towards the armor, all of a sudden there's a conversation between the stone and the armor. And the stone says to the armor, please, let me penetrate. Let me penetrate and kill this wicked man who is guilty of blasphemy is a mechoreif and megadeif. And the armor says, I'm sorry, Hashem created me with certain properties that do not allow stone to penetrate. I can't allow this to happen, I'm sorry. So the stone said, let's make a deal. If you'll let me penetrate. You know, the Jewish people today, and this is my interpretation, I'm giving you some little bit of interpretation. Until this point in time, this is my interpretation. I don't know if it's true or not, it's a Jewish. Until this time, how do the Jews perform circumcision, bris milah? What implement do they use to do the bris milah? What? Stone. How do you know it's stone? Because it says by two places. It says by Tzipora, Tzor, and it says also by Yoshua. I think it says by Yeshua also. It's
a,
what?
Does,
Charvos Tzurim, a sword of a tzur. What is a tzur? Stone.
That's why I'm saying the
puzzle. Right. Charvos Tzurim, and it says by Tzipora. Tzipora, it says by
Tzor.
So it says explicitly that by Yahushua and by Tzipora, the two mentions of Bris Milah, that the tool, the sharp tool that was used to do Bris Milah was a rock. A doimein, a product of the earth, a rock. That's what was used to do Bris Milah. Avraham doesn't say. All this is Vayomol Avraham is Yitzchak Benoyu. Does not say what tool he used. So we have a right to assume the same we find that Tzipora used a flintstone. So too, and Yoshua says Tzurim. So the rock said to the armor, okay, again, we're going over here in slow motion. The rock is being hurled at Goliath. It's now coming in the vicinity of the armor. And the rock says to him, let me penetrate. And the armor says, no, you can't penetrate. Hashem gave me these properties where I prevent anything from penetrating. So the rock, I make a trade with you. I will make a trade with you. I am a stone. And the Jewish people use me to be mekayim the mitzvah bris milah. Hashem was a koyis bris. This is the ois bris with Klal Yisrael. I'm zoiche that it's through me this is done. This mitzvah is done. I'll give it up. I'll give it up to you. You can have it. I'll switch. We'll make a trade so that I can be mekayim to remove Mochayas Timcha Zecher Amalek. Goliath is not a Molek, maybe he is, but Goliath, the Plishti, is not, I don't think he's a Molek, the Plishti. What?
The sisters, our friend was the
right.
Moav,
fine, Moav. This is the Mochonif of Megadif. The ultimate Mochonif of Megadif of Klal Yisrael. What was? I'll give up my Zuchus in order to eradicate this abomination from this world. And the stone said, the metal said, okay, we'll make a deal. I will give up my koyach, my koyach there has to be more to this. I'll give up mine, and the stone was mekayim, the mitzvah of the ibadat ha-neshamah, menamokar mahu, is to obliterate the koyach of evil. And in reward, that was with the stone we see, and in reward for the metal allowing this to happen, from then on, the minug in Klal Yisrael is to use barzel, or a derivative of barzel, which is steel. Today no one uses barzel, unheard of. Today we use steel to be mekayim metal, to be mekayim the mitzvah bris milah. Now there has to be... Today only metal. Today no one's going
to
do that metal. Today that's the way it is. Today it's done with a knife, a metal knife. Yeah. That's the way it's steel. No one uses barzel. Barzel is not used. Barzel is a form of barzel. In any event, so this was the conversation between the two. I'm not. So now what I added was that the part that I added was is that the stone was giving up, was giving it over. It doesn't say that in the Medrash. The Medrash says that because the bars will allow the stone to go through. Nope. The barzel now became the minute to you to use for bris milah barzel. So what? What shaykhes? Why did the barzel all of a sudden was zoicha now barzel to be used as for bris milah? Where does bris milah come into this? You have to understand that the stone gave up something. The stone was moiser nefesh. The stone paid a price for its ability, for its rite of passage. You learn this measure simply, oh, whatever, nice story you tell the children. The stone wanted to go through, the barzel did not allow it to go through, so the barzel says, okay, I'll let you go through, the stone went through. Oh, so we reward the barzel. Now, from now on, bris milah, we are mekayim with barzel. What? That's the whole story, there's a lot more to the story. The stone needed to, no pain, no gain. The stone needed to pay a heavy price. What was the heavy price? It gave up having the zuchus that it should be used for bris milah. It gave that zuchus over to barzel. But what did the stone gain? The stone gained that it was zoicha to be the object which destroyed evil in this world. And these ideas now have to be explored in other areas of stone and barzel. Every time you have stone and barzel, you have to go and explore how it relates to this very powerful medrash. In any event, we have over here Shiras David. This medrash really is a very important medrash because this medrash over here is telling us that Shiras David, the introduction to Shiras David is where David says, describes two events in his life. The defeat of the four children of Orpah, which, it's interesting, you know why, I'm just thinking out loud, I might ask you what to say, thinking out loud with you, it's because, as Eliezer said, it's, where does David come from? David comes from Rus HaMoaviah. What was the moment? The moment, the critical moment in the life of Rus of Rus HaMoaviah is where the Rus, Dovkoba, and Orpah separated. That's the moment. This is the critical pasuk in the entire Sefer Rus. All the pasukim in Sefer Rus. What do we do in Sefer Rus? At the end of Sefer Rus, we miyaches David. The Yishai hoyledes David. That's the end of the miyaches David HaMelech. Where is the moment? What's the key moment of David's existence? It's where Naomi says to her daughter Moaz, go, leave. Go back to your homeland. It's over. Leave, leave, leave. And they say, no, no, we're going to come with you. We're going to come with you. And she says, leave. And then is the moment where Rus said, no, I'm not going. And Orpah said, I'm leaving. Orpah left. I don't remember the exact words. Orpah left. V'Rus Dovkoba. David HaMelech now, at the end of his life, when he sings the song of his life, what is the introduction? Okay, I got it. David HaMelech, at the end of his life, when he comes to sing the song of his existence, the existence of Malchus David, what is the Hakdama? He talks about two different stories. He talks about this fellow who has six fingers, which needs to be defined. And he talks about the four children of Orpah. Who is Orpah? Orpah is the nemesis of Rus. That's where it started. If my ancestor, Rus, followed in the ways of Orpah, I would have been on the other team. I would have been just like them. It's because my ancestor, my matriarch, Rus, decided to go with Derech Hashem, and Orpah went in the opposite direction. That's where it all started. And my life is a full circle. I destroy them. My ancestor Rus, her descendants conquered the descendants of Arpa. They split. One went L'chaim, one went L'mavis. And now in David's lifetime, so many years later, they come back together. And David conquers Arpa. This is the song. What is a shir? A shir means a circle. A shir, the literal definition of a shir means a circle. Here is the full circle. That pivotal moment of where they split and they took on different paths of life. And now it comes to the time of David where they now come to meet again, where Goliath and his brothers are guilty of chidif v'gidif and chodif v'magadif. And David comes to quiet them down and David destroys them. Again, they come together. Rus and Orpah meet. And at this meeting point, David ascends and he conquers and wipes out Arpa.
Interesting how it phrases what Arpa is. I mean, it says, it only says before Rus Tov Gaba, the words preceding are Batishak Arpa Lachamoso, Rus Tov Gaba. It doesn't say that she went. That's what it says.
She kissed her.
They gave her a kiss off.
It's very interesting. There are two ways
just
to show.
Like Esau kissed Yaakov.
He's saying a version, there are two ways to show love. You can kiss someone,
yeah.
You can hug them. What is stronger? The dove means to cleave,
yeah.
A hug. What is a stronger show of love? Look, Arpa kissed, but she went away. Give a kiss, goodbye.
Today they call it an
air
kiss.
It's a remes. Okay, fine. All right, so let's go back over here. Let's go back over to this medrash. Okay, now we go. Now this is going to be the mashal. We describe over here with this shiras David in Sefer Shmuel. The hakdama to David's song and life is to reflect the difference between him, his great great grandmother Rus, and the great great grandmother of Goliath and his three brothers, and how he conquered them. And this is a marshal for Klal Yisrael. Kach likewise, k'shiyav v'mashiach b'mer v'yameinu, ein oimrim shir ad sheyischodev ha-mashiach, shenemar, asher cherfu ikvois mishichecha. Wow, okay, that's something that we don't pay attention to. Everyone says, Mashiach is coming, and we don't know, there's the chevlei, the chevlei Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach, And we don't think that Mashiach himself is involved in anything or painful. This pasuk, and the way the Amin Chas Erev says it very clearly, is that Mashiach will come, and he's going to be rejected. He's going to be insulted. We're brainwashed and think it's going to be nice and easy. Halavai it should be. But this pasuk, the way the Amin Chas Erev learns is Mashiach will be insulted. Just like Goliath, David was no match for Goliath. It was a nace, l'mal derech ha-teva, for David to survive. When Mashiach will present himself, he'll be shut down. He'll be insulted, he'll be rejected, and no one's going to want to talk to him. Asher cherfu ikvois mishichecha. They will insult the footsteps of your anointed one. So we like to think that this means that until Mashiach comes, everything's going to be difficult, but when Mashiach appears, everything is going to be wonderful. Maybe that's what it means. Or maybe it means that no, Mashiach will actually appear and people will reject him. They will insult him. And everything that he does, his footsteps, his technique, his method, his conduct, will be rejected with insults. And until Mashiach proves himself and it falls before the Melech HaMashiach, the four and the fingers. Ad sheyiblu lufonav bal etzvois. What's that? Who's the bal etzvois? Zoy malchus harusha. Going to save the milch. Shnema v'etzvois raglaya minhoin parzel. Okay, this refers to the statue that Daniel saw, that Nebuchadnezzar saw in a dream, and Daniel interpreted the different parts. The different parts of the statue represented dalid malchios, which are machol as a baki on these in yonim. And the fingers, in that Sefer Daniel, there when it describes the fingers refers to Edoim in the times of Mashiach. And there, when it says here, the etzba'os raglaya, the toes, it's not even referring to the fingers, the toes of this statue, this image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, where the head, the body, the different parts of this statue, there are four parts of the statue, 4/5, whatever it is over there, and the lower portion, the toes, is a reference to Yemos HaMashiach Malchus Edom. They will fall in the hands of Mashiach. V'yad sheyiplu lefonav arba malchu yois. And see, this medrash over here is a very powerful medrash with regard to having a greater understanding of the Dalet Malchus Yois, because here it breaks up into two parts. It breaks up the fingers, which refers to that's really Edom, which incorporates within him all four Malchus Yois, Shenemar, the Osafti, Es Kol Hagoyim Yel Yushalayim. Miyod V'yotza Shemenilcham Bo'isa Sho Oymer Shiro Shenemar Mizmor Shiru La Hashem Shir Chodosh Ki Niflois Osa. Okay, so beautiful medrash, and you know, many yesoidos here in this medrash, primarily telling us something. The David over here is telling us. We're getting through this medrash a lot of different ideas. Number one, again, to review is that David is called an Eved Hashem. The reason why he's given the title Eved Hashem is because he did teshuva for his avera, and Hashem rewards him with a title of honor. Number two, we learned from this medrash that David is arguing that his life is a metaphor for Klal Yisrael. At least his life at the end, at least his life with regard to Yemos HaMashiach. In the days of Mashiach, is a metaphor for what happened to him is the Klal Yisrael. And what is the hakdama to this Shira of Shiras David? Well, there in Sefer Shmuel, it's much more elaborate, the hakdama to the Shira, where David, before he begins the Shira, he talks about the Baal Etzba'ois and the Dalit. And we think Shuda Shal Mikra, the Baal Etzba'ois refers to an individual that was a giant, a mighty person that had six fingers and six toes. And the four refers to the four children of Arpah, which is very meaningful for David, being that he comes from Rus, the Tzara.
Did he fight the four children?
I don't know. He definitely fought, definitely killed Goliath. The other three, I don't know. I don't know.
Also,
okay, I guess, I think the thing it says he did. He did kill them all eventually. At some, not necessarily at the beginning of his Malchus, in the beginning, but at some point in time he killed them all, and he conquered them all. And this is my Sava similar one that the Melech HaMashiach will come from Mashiach ben David. Likewise, will deal with the fingers and deal with Dalid Malchios. They will fall before the Melech HaMashiach after the Melech HaMashiach has a struggle which is called an insult. M'chodif
m'gadif. I think what's going to happen is that when Mashiach comes, the Goyim are going to claim that he's Yashva. It's going to be a whole big thing.
Say it?
When Mashiach comes, the Goyim are going to say that he is Yashva.
When Mashiach will come,
the Goyim will say that he is Yashva.
That the Mashiach is the second coming. Is Yashva. That he is.
So what?
I'm confused. I don't understand what that means. They're going to take credit for it? What do you mean? What do you mean? He's Yashka? How could he be Yashka?
Why not?
Yashka's dead.
Who's dead?
No.
He's coming back, they say.
They said he already came.
Right. So he's coming again.
All right. All right. This is over my head. What's going to be? We don't know how all this is going to play out.
There'll be a tumult when he comes.
He's going to be insulted.
So what? Every religion is going to claim that he is their savior.
He's from them.
Yeah.
All right. It's very obviously this is way over our heads. What this is going to be? Wait and see. Okay. Let's go further. The media.
No, we tell Kufai, and I saw him do it twice. He said, we agree on how the story begins. We disagree on how it ends. We'll find out when it happens.
Okay, let's proceed. Okay. Now there is something, another, now we did, there is, I want to now go on page 143. On page 143, there's another reference to the Dalet Malchus. Okay, we did this Pasuk, page 143 in the Radak. And Michal mentioned this to me. Radak in Pasuk Vav. We did this Pasuk. I'll read the Pasuk again. Chevle Shol Sevuni Kidmuni Magshay Mavis. Look in the Radak on page 143. It's towards the top. Pasuk Vav. Chevle Sheol. The pangs go down one line. Go down where it's Uvidrash. Uvidrash. Let's start from there. Uvidrash. Shoycher Toif. Okay. Uvidrash. Medaber al Arba Malchiois. This pasuk, these two psukim refer to Dal Malchus. Afafuni. We're going now back. He's now reading Pasuk Hey and Pasuk Vav. This is amazing stuff. And Bechol has a chapter on this, right? And Bechol, you have a chapter on this. Sure. The drash says, Medar al-Adar al-Malchus, Afafuni Chavim Oves, Bebavel. Okay, when it says in the beginning of Pasuk, Hey, I have been surrounded by birth pangs of death, or as a band, Chavim armies of death. This defines Golus Bavel. Bebavel, when it says, V'nachalei V'lial, an illness, a choili, of people who are in the category of Bili oil, Bimodai.
Yeah, that would describe
Haman. Haman, that's Amalek. Haman, that's his Parasumodai. Bili oil. The goal is to remove the yoke, the ol malchus shamayim, the conscience of the Jew of the world, the moral conscience of the world. I was reading yesterday in Rabbi Daniel Gladstein's Sefer, fantastic Sefer, about Purim, and he describes the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, Hitler, and what Hitler wrote about the Jews. Hitler wrote about the Jews two things. They. I don't remember right, but the one is that they represent, they have damaged the body with their bris mila, and that's the second thing. The first thing, they've damaged the body and the mind. They've damaged the body by performing bris mila. And that's mamash what it says in the pasuk. Vayizanev b'cho kol hanecha sholim acharecha. What did Amalek do? It's amazing how he's a mamash, a reincarnation. Whatever that means, that word means. But Hitler, Yimach Shemo v'Zichro, had all of the midos of Amalek. Vayizanev, what does it say in this week's parasha? Vayizanev b'cho kol hanecha sholim acharecha. V'yato oyev v'yogeya v'lo yorei elokim. It says that Amalek two things. They took the bris mila, and they flung it into the sky as a litzonis. They Hashem, this is what you want. They were mevaze the orla, the bris mila, and you were vulnerable. And when a person is vulnerable, you don't take advantage. V'lo yorei elokim. They're not God-fearing people. They took advantage of the weaker people. The survival, they want, what was it called? They only wanted healthy, pure,
Nazis.
Aryan race.
Yeah.
It had to be only, they took advantage of the weak and feeble. The ato oyev yogea. And they, v'lo yorei elokim. Oh, you're weak? You're weak and we're superior? You don't belong on this world. Get rid of you. You're the first people that they killed. They came to the hospitals. They killed everyone in the hospital. These people, they're a disease. They're a disease to this world. It is unbelievable. These exact, what it says in the Torah about Amalek, is exactly the thesis of Hitler's Mein Kampf, his work, where he said that the Jews have destroyed the body and destroy the mind. The body, they've damaged the body by removing the orla. They've damaged the body. Why does that mean so much to Amalek? Because the Rama. The Rama represents that the orla is the nerve endings of that Aver, which provides a person with enjoyment. And by removing the orla, a person is permanently denying himself Tainuk. It's the Rama. The Rambam says there are many reasons why we do Bris Mila. One of the reasons why we do Bris Mila is to recognize that in this world, we're not here to enjoy ourselves. We're here in this world to serve Hashem. And the person, he does this act of circumcision as a way of reducing his pleasure, his taiva.
Now, today,
I don't know exactly how science, no nishtana hateva, I know there's a lot going on in science, how they act, the difference between a non-Jew that has a bris mila, doesn't have a bris mila, I don't know all the protipotim, but this is what it says in the Rambam, and from what I've read, there is a degree of truth in this today as well. Okay, maybe the nishtana hateva It's not to the same degree that it was in the time of Chazal, in the time of ancient times, but there are nerve endings in the Orla, and when this is removed from the body, a person has a permanent diminishment in his titles. And that is one of the reasons the Rambam says we have a mitzvah bris milah, is in order to show that we're not here in this world for taiva, we're here to serve Hashem. Hitler, Yamach, Shemay, Vizichro could not deal with this. You're here in this world for one thing only, taiva. Taiva, 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 taiva. For a human being to damage his body and to remove the orla, in his mind, you're insane. You're insane. How could you live in a world and not seek the ultimate pleasure possible? And the second thing Hitler wrote is that the Jews have put into the mind the moral conscience. Is the Yori Elohim. They're afraid of discipline. They discipline themselves. They discipline themselves with Yiras Elohim. Man is a barbarian. There's no discipline. You do whatever you want. You behave like an animal. Okay, the second in command, what was it, Gorin? Who was the second in command? I remember one of the when they took him when they tried him in Nuremberg and they hung him, he behaved like an animal when they took him out to be hung. Maybe Streicher, one of them, a barbarian, no dignity, no did nothing, an animal. It's exactly what it says in the reading of the Torah. The two things, he doesn't say this, he doesn't make that shtotzu, but nobody, he presents. He writes up Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, the two things that he could not deal with about the Jews. What they did to the body and what they do to the mind. And that's exactly what it says in this week's reading. Vayizanev b'cho kol ha-nechesh sholim acharecha. And Rashi there says, what does it vayizanev? It means they took the orla and they threw it into the sky as a way of making leitzonis. Then it says, v'yato oyev yogea. The Jews do not necessarily have the best genes with regard to strength, power, health. V'lo yori Elohim. The Amalek, they're not God-fearing people. You're weak, we're strong, we eliminate you. We are going to destroy you, remove you from the face of this earth. Depopulate the world from the Jewish people. What? Survival of the fittest. Exactly. It's unbelievable. It's uncanny. That what he wrote in his work is exactly how the Torah defines the essence of Amalek. Now, here, what does it say? The Nachale Vilial Yiv Asumi. They terrified me. Okay? And this refers to Parasumada. Haman is Amalek. Amalek, according to Rav Yaakov the Gra, and this is a very popular idea, not everyone agrees to this, is that Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, the Nazis, were the modern day Amalek. Okay? They were Amalek personified. Amalek personified. The same way we could appreciate that, because it's more current, more recent, in studying the Holocaust, it's exactly what Haman was. Exactly the same thing. And Haman, the essence of Haman was Beli oil. There is no moral conscience. There is nothing. This illness of this absence of any oil, any moral conscience. An illness, Yivasuni, they terrify us. Going back, how does this Radak define Bavel? What is the definition of Bavel, Malchus of Bavel? They're called Chevle Mavis. A Chevel, a band of death. Okay, why does that define Bavel? You have to think about that. I don't know. Why Bavel destroyed the base of the Bayis Rishon? The Bayis was the life of this world. The Shechina was resting in this world. Has to be defined in more ideas. Okay, now we go to further Vav. Vav, go into the further in the Radak. Chevle Shol, it is Chevle Shol Sivuni. The Chevle Shol Siv, then we go to the Shol, the grave. Sivavuni, Biyavan. Why is the word Sheol, the grave, an appropriate word for Yavan? I'm not sure. We're going to ask Rav Mechol in a moment to give a commentary on this.
Okay, let me just
finish up the enemy. So let me just finish the last words. Kidmuni Mugshay Mavis, and this is relevant for us because we're living now in Golus Edoim. We're trapped. Kidmuni, they go in front of us. They're always one step ahead. In Edoim, according to the Radak, we're coming to define in a very few words with the ultimate precision the essence, the mahus of Golus Edoim. In Golus Edoim, Kidmuni, they're always ahead of us. They're always one step ahead of us. They're called Mugshay Mavis. Not to be compared to Chevle Mavis. Bavel was a Chevel of Mavis. Edom is a Moikesh of Mavis. What is a Moikesh? A trap. A trap means you don't even realize what's happening. You don't realize what they're doing. It's a secret. If you know your enemy, know thine enemy, then, okay, he may be more powerful, but at least you know who you're dealing with. In Bavel, according to what Radak is saying, I'm going to say very deep here. According to Radak, the difference between Bavel and Edom is, in Bavel, we knew who our enemy was. We knew who we are, we knew who our enemies are, and we had a fight. We battled. We lost. But at least we knew who we were dealing with. Edom, we don't even realize what they're doing to us. We don't realize who are in, they're traps. There's not, I've told you this 100 times, there's not one person in the entire world that is not influenced by what comes out of Hollywood. The entertainment industry on the other end of this country, the garbage that it produces, it influences the entire world. Even the person that's sitting and learning Yom HaValayla in Kol Chazoinish on the top of a hill in Bnei Brak is influenced subconsciously through the garbage that comes out of Hollywood, because it spreads to the whole world. Every single person, those values are part of their mind, and that person Kol Chazanish in the hill in Bnei Barak, he has to go to the store also and talk to people and deal with people every day of his life as well, and the people that he deals with have also been influenced Chavre Isle, and you don't even realize it. You don't even realize how much of the Western civilization has crept into our subconscious, and we believe that it's wonderful. And certainly there must be good elements. You can't say everything is evil. Certainly everything Hashem puts in this world, you know, can be used for good. There must be good elements here and there, but there's a lot of problems that come along with it. And it's a trap. A trap. We all know it to be true. We all know. We don't want to admit it, but we all know that in our lives we're living in a fantasy world. Every once in a while we have a wake-up call. We realize, yeah, everything is good. We think it's good, but we realize not everything is really so good. We living in a dar, what's called Kidmuni Mugshay Mavis. They're ahead of us. And these are traps which are not to our benefit. Mugshay Mavis, the Edom, Lama Kazabu Shandam Ruvis Mavis. Why by Bavel and why is it by Edom is it called Moves? Because Bavel destroyed, they brought death to this world by destroying the Bayis Rishon, and Edom brought death to this world by destroying the Bayis Sheni. So therefore they both have in common Moves. Their technique is different. The technique of Bavel was Avodah Zarah, Gil Yarayish, Shvichas Damim. The technique of Edom was Sinas Chinam, you don't even know it. It's hidden, it's a mikish, it's lurking. Okay, and now, we're gonna call upon the expert, the world-renowned, professor.
Whatever it is that you
read, doctor.
Whatever it is you read into one line of a doc, but I'll tell you what.
It's over the real shot.
The
MS.
The pains of death encircled me, alludes to Bavel, in the sense that Nebuchadnezzar surrounded and besieged Jerusalem. Okay? Torrents of godless men frightened me, that was pretty obvious. Persia, because the decree of genocide instigated by the godless Haman and approved by Ahasuerus terrorized the Jews. The pains of the grave, Sheol, surrounded me, symbolizes the period of religious oppression by the Greeks. The effort to eradicate Judaism itself, rather than the people, threatened to condemn them to purgatory, which is another meaning of Sheol. the fourth expression, the snares of death confronted me. This is compared to the Roman Empire, which wreaked death and destruction when it conquered Israel and continued its murderous ways against us throughout the centuries. It is not difficult to characterize our exile as a death trap in light of the Holocaust, as the former sailor.
Excellent. All right. Now this can. I think we need to. Let me just make sure. Want to. Before we conclude with this, want to just mention one more thing that we started today with the pasuk Zion. Let us take a look at the Chaimas Anoch. Okay, we Chaimas Anoch on page 143. Batzarli, this from the Chida. Batzarli Ekra Hashem v'Elokai Ashaveya. Derech asmach de bialma yesh loymar ma shekasu chachmei musav hu minik vosikin dich sheyesh chas. This is what I mentioned from the Rashi. I should have really said this yesterday. In the Rashi, dich sheyesh chas v'shalom ezet tzara laklal oleprat kovim limud u'mispalim ala tzara uvosim leze batzarli ekra she'elmoid batoira. The Acharkach El Elokai Ashaveya. Now he's saying something different. I didn't realize what I marked down over here is there's a one more time. Derech Asmach Tabel Mayeshu Mamasha Kosu Chachmei Musav Hu Minak Vosikin. The old minute when there's a tzara to be koveya a limud. It's not enough. We don't do this. When we're Chmano Litzlan, when you hear about Chmano Litzlan, a tzara in Klal Yisrael. Okay, so there's an atzeres tefillah. It's the fast. Look at the Megillah. Leich kinois es kol ha-Yehudim. He says something different, which really is an interesting idea, and you have to find the Makar, is to be koveya a special limud. We have a problem, so we're going to learn in order as a zuchus, as a merit. It's not just enough to go and everyone should come together and daven. Everyone must be koveya seder in learning a specific sugya. A sugya that is related to the tzara that we're dealing with. So he says, but ekra Hashem. It seems that he understands with ekra not to refer to prayer. Ekra means to read. To read means to learn. It's a loose translation. I guess it's in contrast to the word ashaveya. Ashaveya, when you have two words juxtaposed, it can't mean the same thing. There has to be a difference. So it depends on the context. In this particular context, being that there are two words that are juxtaposed, and the word ashaveya certainly has a connotation of prayer, so the word ekra refers to, like, we have kriya satoira. What is kriya satoira? Kriya satoira is the ultimate form of Talmud Torah derabbah. We take it for granted. You come to shul. Oh, no, he's saying more. He's saying that the Bezdin, the Tzibur, gives out a kol koire. Everyone in Klal Yisrael should be koveya to learn this Masechta. People go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. This is one of his favorite things. There's a whole book on this. I have actually a whole book on this. People go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and they ask him, they have a problem. So he tells you to learn something very specific. So it's, you're going to laugh, but this is what he says. The person is going for a hip replacement.
What?
A hip replacement. He'll tell them, learn Perek Ketzad HaRegel in Bava Kamma. There's a Perek called Ketzad HaRegel. You learn Perek Ketzad HaRegel. It discusses the Mazik of Regel, the four Mazikim, you learn that Perek? That'll be a zuchus and everything should go okay. I have a whole book, all these bizarre things. I know a person, that was very, very sick. He told them to learn Elu Trefus. I know firsthand a person. Some of you here in this room know who that person is. He went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he was very, very sick, and he told him to learn Perik Elu Trefus in the Sech Techulim. That's the Perik that deals with all of the defects in animals. An animal, you do a bedika on an animal, after shooting, you find the defect, the animal's trefus. You're not allowed to eat that. By learning that parrot in the Sechta Chulim, with Mishnayis and the Gemara, and being a bucky, being an expert in all the different dinim of a treifa, your body will not be a treifa. because there was a gzera min hashamayim that you should be a treifer. Obviously, you're in a very difficult matzav. So just transfer the gzera of being a treifer from your body to mastering the mesechta that deals with these issues, and that will solve your problem. And Baruch Hashem, this first time, whatever, you know, no one knows how these things work, but this he does all the time. We said from the Chassam Sofer, says that when there's war, what is the solution to war as a segula? Milchamta shel Torah. When there's a gzeira min hashamayim, that there should be in this world milchama. So it doesn't have to be the skyim on the battlefield. If Talmidei Chacham will engage in milchamta shel Torah, the gzeira min hashamayim of milchama was in the skyim. No longer is it necessary for people to die on the battlefield. And this is what it means. Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. How do Talmidei Chachamim, how do they increase peace in this world? By they engaging in milchamta shel Torah, the war of Torah, battling it out, trying to decipher and understand the depth of Torah through debate, which is called milchama, then the gezerah of Muhammad has been niskayim. It's no longer necessary for there to be a real battle with machines. Now, this, you have to be a maimon to appreciate this. Obviously, these are very deep concepts.
You mentioned the Hassan Sofer. So yeah. His grandson wrote on this topic, what he said in the Shevet Sofer, he says that when you get a bracha, you have to be willing to totally receive it. You have to put yourself in this frame of mind that you're going to be willing to change yourself. The thought that crossed my mind in my, not that happened in my life, but I remember a story of a friend of mine who he went to jail for the summer lunch program way back in the 70s. Mm. And when he got out of jail, he went to a Rebbe for a bracha and to do tshuva and, you know, change his life. And the Rebbe told him to go to the mikveh 50 days in a row. And he was doing it. And I kept asking him how he's doing. He got up to day number 47. And then a week later, I said, so what happened? He said, I stopped after 47. I said, why? He didn't say it, but what I gleaned was, he was afraid it would really change him. He liked what he was. In other words, he went to jail again. But
was there a mikveh
for jail? For other scandals with the home mortgages, you know. But the fact is that when he told me that, I said, what do you mean you stopped? Because he didn't really want to change. He wasn't accepting. The bracha was not going to do any good. This is what it says in the Shevet Sofer. If you're not willing to really open up yourself, to really let it into you and change. So the Rebbe gives you a bracha. It's not going to do any good if you really don't want to change.
Of course.
Yeah. So you have to really get into it, and that's the problem.
Absolutely. So this is a very powerful idea, because you don't hear about it. I mean, this is Rav Chaim Kanievsky does all the time. You need a zuchus. When you need a zuchus, so you have to work on it. Working, typically, we only think that the only way to solve problems is to have tefillah. This chida is telling us it's a two different avenues. They do both together. Tefillah may not be enough. You have to dedicate a limud that is relevant to your situation in addition to the tefillah, and that is what it says in this pasuk. But tzar li. Rachmana litzlan, when I'm in a matzav of tzar, what do you do? Ekra Hashem. What is Ekra? Ekra refers to Talmud Torah. How do you know this? We have Kriya Satorah. You go to shul. What is Kriya Satorah? Talmud Torah Derabim. When the Baal Kriya lanes a few psukim, this is Talmud Torah Derabim. You have to be Ekra Hashem. And in addition to dedicating a lima to the issue that you're dealing with, you have to daven. V'el Elokai Ashaveya. Okay, so the Chidah reads into this. You're learning a lot of segulas. You notice a lot of segulas. We have the classic halacha of le'olam yakdim adam tefila litzara. We learned yesterday about this other principle, is to sing shira to Hashem in advance. Imagine that the salvation has arrived, so you say nishmas already in advance. And here we're learning from the Chidah another segula. The skula is, it's not just enough to daven. Dedicate a limut to this issue that is relevant to this issue, and also daven to Hashem. The combination together is gold. You put yourself in a different frame of mind. Okay, everything I wanted to say, I already did. So Misham, tomorrow we're going to go further. We're going to go further in new territory tomorrow. Yes.
Maybe I should speak to you later.